It's always a joy and a blessing to be able to do these online services, and I thank Phil for his skills and so forth of editing them and getting them out. And there's so much information on the website. Just a blessing. When time stands still, that's what I want to focus on. That's what I entitled my message, When Time Stands Still. And our scripture reading this week is in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. It's a long reading, and I didn't want to do the long reading on the online service, but I wanted to focus on the context of it. Now, this is a reading of scripture which focuses on the death of Lazarus. Now, the story of Lazarus' death and resurrection contains a very profound teaching about sorrow. And when Jesus arrived and was taken to the graveside, he wept openly. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. The onlookers were impressed with the power of his grief and immediately recognized it as an indication of his great love. Oh, they said, see how much he loved them, they said. The tears that Jesus shed that day forever validate the experience of human sorrow and grief. Even though we have the hope of resurrection, and we know that the believer, physical death is not the final word of our tears and sorrow, but they're appropriate and good. How comforting it is to know that God himself is willing to walk the way of sorrow with us. Is there any sorrow that you might have been unable to express fully? Well, you can share it with Jesus, for he understands your grief fully, as he stood at the grave of Lazarus and he wept. So I want to pick up the story in verse 17. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many people had come to pay their respects and console with Martha and Mary on their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here earlier, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, Your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, when everyone else rises on Resurrection Day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, like everyone else, will live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. Do you believe this, Martha? Oh, yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. And then she left him and returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, The teacher is here and he wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Now Jesus stayed outside the village at a place where Martha had met him, and when the people who were there at the house trying to console Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. And when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell down at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, he was moved with indignation and was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby, see how much he loved him? But some said, This man healed a blind man. Why couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying? And again, Jesus was deeply troubled. Then they came to the grave. It was a grave with a stone rolled across the entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, said, Lord, by now the smell will be terrible because he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus responded, Didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe? So They rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here, so they will believe you sent me. And then the Lord shouted, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out, bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth, and Jesus told him, Unwrap him and let him go. Verse 45. Many of the people who were there with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. May God add blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. When time stands still. In the book of Psalms, chapter 30, verse 5, it says, Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, if you are as old as me, and most of you are, but if you're a little younger, I don't know if you remember a song that was released in 1971 by Don McLean, and it was called American Pie. Well, that folk rock tune is said to have been memorialized in the death of music by legend Buddy Holly, who died along with others in an unexpected plane crash. But Don McLean himself tells a different story. When McLean was 15 years old, he had a premonition that his father was going to die. A few days later, it happened. His father died right in front of him. McLean said he cried for 2 years. He felt pain and loss and grief and guilt. And after that, he experienced additional losses and grief in his life. He describes himself as having a kind of deep psychiatric pain, and all of his songs are songs of pain and sadness, of loss and grief. American Pie is his lament, his attempt to find solace for his pain and to connect with the world by singing out his grief, much like Psalm 130. But the truth is that many artists, like him, find ways to unleash their grief and pain in their art, whether it's music or painting or dancing or writing. In fact, many attest that their gifts were made particularly vivid and expressive due to the depths of their own emotional experiences. Grief is one of the most powerful of all these emotions. Grief is as vital as everyday part of the human experience. We all feel grief, whether it's the loss of a loved one, the loss of a home or a belonging, or a loss of a friend, or a loss of years gone by. While we may many times try to avoid it or hide from grief, grief cannot be outrun. So why do we try so hard to avoid those feelings of mourning and sadness? I think for most of us, it feels like death, the kind that we don't know how to recover from, the kind that we don't know how to bounce back from. And while others may have left us, we remain in pain. While our grief subsumes us, we loathe grief. We hate grief. We fear grief more than we fear death itself. But grief provides us a unique kind of insight into what it's like to die emotionally, spiritually, or even physically. But what we often miss is that grief also affords us an insight into what it's like to live again, to rediscover life, a new future, and what it means to laugh, to love, and to start afresh. You see, the new life that Jesus promises is not only the eternal kind, although that's a blessing. It's the kind that assures us that about every bout of grief, we will again feel joy, that after every tragedy, the sun will shine again, that every winter and every spring will come, and the seasons will come around just like they always have. So our scripture today is about grief, but more than that, it's about new life. A rediscovery of a future, a stronger faith, new insights about God, and a recognition of what it truly means to live. I like to think of the story of Lazarus, not just of his surprising grasp as he re-enters into life, but the grasp of Mary and Martha and everybody that was present that day as they witnessed to the miracle that God has done. This story is unbinding of both Lazarus and Mary, as well as everybody else who come to the depths of grief that day. In fact, one could say that this is a revival story. It's more about the others than it was about Lazarus. While Lazarus may have been physically unbound and released to live another several years, the others' presence experienced a much more dynamic unbinding. The unbinding of their expectations, their assumptions, their doubts, their limitation, their understanding of God and life and the power and the promise of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. Now, from that point on, their faith would change and grow and morph and develop into an unforgettable, indeflatable dynamic that would sustain them before and during and after the cross. That would compel them to understand the meaning of the empty tomb. That would prompt them to deliver the message that would become our gospel. Good news. So the scripture story is not just any miracle. It's about a turning point in Jesus' disciples, all of his disciples, and the comprehension of the meaning of the value of life. His disciples in that day and us as modern day disciples. For 4 days, for those who mourn, time stood still. Their days dissolved in the stillness and doubt and despair and hopelessness as they lamented Jesus' absence and the finality of their brother's death. The primal loneliness, the upheaval of faith, identity, and the reality, the pervasive sense of status, what was going on, and though their life, there was some illusionary, strange thing now taken away. Everyone present succumbed to the shock and the silence and the stillness, the realization of nothingness, the nothingness of death. Now, where Lazarus stood, and now stood only as a bounder, a cave, a memory, the faint scent of decay, and yet Jesus waited. As the frozen ground waits for the spring, and as an expectant mother waits to give birth, he waited, knowing that in order to unloose those whose souls felt bound and chained to finality, hopelessness, mourning and loss, he would need to pull them from that place and thrust them into a new life, a new understanding, a new hope, and a new faith. Now, I don't think any of us can possibly understand the beauty and the exquisiteness of life until we experience that stillness of death, emotional and spiritual death. From out of those depths of our grief, we are pulled into the newness of life and the truth of hope. That's what Psalm 130 is all about. Read it. You'll be encouraged. Now, this is Jesus' gift, a gift not merely to Lazarus, although it benefited Lazarus, but a gift to all who witnessed his miracle of life and to all he unbound that day. This is Jesus' gift to us, too. Jesus' resurrection gift is not merely to proclaim life after death, but that life always triumphs death. A kind of death, the death of faith, the death of hope, the death of meaning, the death of identity, the death of a friendship, the death of joy, the death of relationship, the death of a community. And from out of that place, Jesus declares and offers life. I think that we can imagine those standing around that day witnessing Lazarus unbinding, the grasp that must have resonated through the crowd, the shock as their entire worldview was newly shaken, turned, revived, restored, and I also know that many of us today suffer from that similar grief. In our lives, many of us have unresolved grief, continuing emotional pain, doubt that often subsumes our faith, and questions that plagues us even into the night sometimes. Jesus wants to assure us, you and me, that this is not the end of the story. This thing's called the story of life. Grief is not the be-all of who you are. Sadness won't consume you in the end. Death is not finality, not even in life, not even in grief. So you can choose to step into this new life that Jesus is offering you anytime that you're ready to see the miracle of who He is. He is ready to transfigure your life from the stillness to joy anytime that you're ready. I hope all of you know this reality, but if you're not sure what I'm talking about, I challenge you, are you ready to take that step? Are you ready for the new you? Look around in the sanctuary. Look all around the life around you. You're a part of that life, a life that always renews and always breathes and changes and moving. Grievers, it's not your time to die. It's still your time to live. Even in death, life beckons. Embrace the beauty of this life in the here and now, and you will be assured more and more each day of the life after. Even in our time now, in the spring of the year here in North Florida, the trees are budding, the flowers, the birds are chirping, and it's just a few weeks ago, oh boy, I'll be tired, be glad when this winter's over. It's cold and gray, and these days here in North Florida remind me when the wintertime in Pennsylvania, and then voila, things change. That's God's message to us, that we will bloom into new life. And we got to encourage one another, because there's trying times out there. It really and truly is. But let's come together and celebrate during this resurrection season, or the world likes to call it Easter, and that's okay. I like to call it resurrection season because of the resurrection of Christ. The death, the burial, and more importantly, the resurrection was a witness. Now, some of those people that day there saw what happened and Jesus did to Lazarus, and then what happened to this old boy? They put him on the cross, they died, now they put him in the grave. Aha! But the grave didn't hold him. That's what we celebrate this resurrection season. And Jesus went further. He said, okay, I raised from dead, you saw me, but I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm coming back. Watch and pray. I am coming back for you, so that where I am, you may be also. What a blessed hope we have in Christ. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. Amen.